Tonight's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 to 12. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and a lion's sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry out for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Oh my. Oh, it's a little later than I thought. But I've got this stuff. So if you can just bear with me for a moment, I've just got a couple of things that I need to move. You know, it's so bad when you have so much stuff that you need to ask somebody to give you a hand. Could you give me a hand? Thank you. I would appreciate it. If you could just take this and put it right up there with the rest of the bags, that would really be helpful. You know, I ran into this problem when I was traveling last. I had so many bags, I couldn't carry them all myself. I ended up having to have somebody else give me a hand. And I don't know why, but people say that I have so many bags, I have way too much stuff. If any of you are like me, perhaps you've traveled with one too many bags. You don't quite know what to pack when you're getting ready to go on vacation. You don't know if you're going to need that sweater, so it goes in the bag. I'm one of those people. I take all kinds of stuff when I go with me. As a matter of fact, I am a person who loves bags so much that I have bags inside of my bags. And I carry all kinds of goodies, you know, goodies that like they might not have when I get to the place that I'm going. For example, a tea strainer. Now, really, what hotel has a tea strainer to go in your cup? I'm equipped. Or there's also the ever-present travel iron. You know, I've had this thing for years, and I've taken it on all kinds of trips. I'll confess, I don't think I've ever used it, but it finds its way into the bag every time I go. And then, if that's not enough, I got to show you this really great thing. So many of you know that I was on a pretty major trip in December. Well, let me show you what I got. Not to advertise a product, but this is a great bag that goes inside of your bag that holds all of your other stuff. You know, like you can fold up your shirts and your pants and you put them all in here nice and neat. They don't get jostled around when they're on the plane. And it's fabulous. So essentially, all of my bags go inside of my bags and I am ready for anything. Anything, except I need somebody to help me. You know, I have been accused, like I said, of having too many bags and too much stuff. And sometimes, I'll admit, it would be worth having a little bit of an examination on what's inside. You know, as we enter this season of Lent, we're invited into a season of examination. Of examination for all of the stuff that we find ourselves lugging around and carrying around. I wish it were so easy just to go inside of a bag and fix it. Because if it were just physical, if it were just that stuff that is going inside those little compartments, it would be so much easier, wouldn't it? If this examination in this 40 days only had to do with those physical things that we've been lugging around, then I'll bet you even I could clean out all of that stuff. But it's really not only about that. As a matter of fact, you see, the simple truth is that God is inviting us into a time of examination where we begin to look inside of those compartments where we've been carrying around some things, where we've been holding some things dear. Maybe there are some items that we haven't been taking a look at in a while. Maybe it's some anger for someone that we've tucked away. Perhaps it's some anxiety that we've got hidden in this special compartment that we tuck away into a bag. Perhaps it's a bit of overwork and overload that we hide away in a bag. And God has invited us in this season of Lent to enter into a spiritual examination. Because you see, God knows that you and I are in the habit of carrying some things around. And oh, we like to make it look good. We may put it in a good looking bag. It may be Gucci or it may be TJ Maxx, but we are still trying to make it look fine and organized and neat and like we can carry it. But God knows. God knows that there are some times and some things that you and I don't need to be carrying. In fact, the psalmist has said that we are designed to be living light. We are designed to be casting our burdens upon God. And Jesus said in the gospel that, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You see, God has an invitation for you to begin this spiritual examination process, and that invitation begins today. You see, it might be a painful process, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that, because sometimes spiritual examination is a painful process when God is requiring us to empty out ourselves of all of the junk that we have been carrying around. But emptying really isn't the point. giving up really isn't the point. You see, that's only the process. All of our practices do have an outcome, and one of the outcomes of Lent is that we are healed. That we are healed in our souls, healed in our spirits. And so, my friends, some people might call Lent a season of darkness, and it is. Some people call Lent a season of sacrifice, and yes, that might be part of it. But I have to tell you that tonight I am excited. After this last year, I am excited to enter this season of Lent, this time in which I can lay some stuff down, this time in which I can tell God all about it, and I can give away some of the stuff that I've been carrying. You see, as we are healed inside, as our souls become healed, then we begin to be able to participate with God in God's plan for healing others. So it's not about your pain. It's about your healing. This season is not so that you will be a better person. It is so that you will have a deeper purpose. It is not for the fulfillment of your plans or of even of your dreams or what you believe God has called you to do. No, it is for the transformation of the world. You see, we are invited in this season not to merely set aside, but we are invited to make room. For during the course of the next 40 days, I would imagine that you might encounter someone who is asking you what you're giving up. Perhaps you go to work or you go to school and someone asks you if you've given up chocolate this year. Or someone asks you if you are eating fish just on Fridays. It's not really about that practice. For the focus for that person might be giving up, but that's not really what this season is about. You see, it's not about the sacrifice. It's about the getting closer. It's about getting closer to God. So while those questions might come from someone who understands what fasting is about, they may be missing the point. Now, the prophet Isaiah was called to speak to a people who knew all about fasting. These were a people who were quite skilled in fasting. They understood the mechanics of that. But unfortunately, these were a people who were far from God in both purpose and in spirit. These were a people who managed in their season to focus on all the wrong things. They kept their eyes on the players when they should have had their eyes on the ball. And they missed the point altogether. They were called by God to be peace. And they wanted peace for themselves. But yet, these were a people who would not extend peace to their neighbors or peace to their friends. They wanted God's generosity for themselves, but yet they refused to extend a helping hand to someone else. They wanted the benefit of God's grace, and yet they were graceless in their living near others. You see, God is calling us into a season of examination, of fasting, of prayer, of meditation, and yes, of deeper spiritual practice, so that we might participate with God in God's radical plan for active grace, for active justice, for an active, all-embracing, all-free-flowing love. And we can't do that. when we are burdened with all of this junk. Now, I love the psalmist. And in this passage, the psalmist opens up himself completely to God by saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting." So yes, my friends, there is a way. There is a way everlasting. There is a way for healing. There is a pathway to hope. There is a pathway towards justice, a way that will take us beyond the despairing moment, the overloaded schedule, the overcrowded life. It is a course that is orienting itself towards God's love. It is a trajectory that is bent on God's eternal acceptance and God's radical justice. So, my friends, as we empty ourselves, we do so that we might be filled. That we might be filled with the Spirit of God. We take off so that we might put on God's grace. And so I have one more thing in my bag that I would like to show you tonight. And this item is very special to me. And in fact, this is the most special item in my bag. I was actually kind of afraid to put it in here because I was thinking it might get wrinkled. But this to me is a reminder of God's grace, of God's righteousness, and of God's calling. And as I put this on, I am reminded that I, Anna, who am fallible, who am completely imperfect, who will make all kinds of mistakes, I am clothed in God's grace. I am clothed in God's righteousness. I am reminded that me, even imperfect Anna, with all of my mistakes and with all of my bags, yet God's Holy Spirit empowers me to do far more than I could ever dream or think or imagine. You see, when I never stop actually fully being myself, but I have put on God's grace. I have put on God's righteousness. So yes, the Lent is a season of darkness. It is a season of examination. It is a call to become more spiritually engaged, a call for fasting, a call for prayer, a call for meditation, a call for rest, and for some alone time. But in this season of Lent, we also find that it is a season of filling. It is a season of filling of God's Spirit in those deep places in our lives, in all of those little categories that we thought we had in control. God's Spirit can get in and wash and make us new. It is a season of healing, and it is a season of drawing closer to God, of being empowered by God's Spirit to participate with God in the transformation of the world. This is God's call for you and for me. So God, in God's Holy Spirit, wants to do in you far more than you could ever dream, far more than you could ever imagine, far more than you even have the courage to ask. Can we hear now the words of the invitation for the season of Lent? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, The early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the participation in life, in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need that we all have to renew our faith. So I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church Universal, to observe a Holy Lent. By self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's Holy Word, to make a right beginning of repentance. And as a mark of our mortal nature, so we bow now before our Creator and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Remind us in this moment that while it is to this earth our physical bodies return, our souls enjoy everlasting life with you. Grant that these ashes which we are to receive may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given life and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.